This is It Just Takes One. One person, one experience, one idea, one moment to change your life. Here's what's coming up on today's show.
You know, you never know when you're going to be stuck in a situation where you're by yourself. And actually, I don't even call it stuck. I would start to call it safe inside, or, you know, alone in a good way, right? Because I think there's something to be said about being able to enjoy your own company. Like, how do you expect others to enjoy it if you don't, right?
Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing Josie Collier. She is one of our most recent authors with Scripter Publishing Group, and she wrote a book called What a Year: Collierisms, Cocktails, and Cooking. I actually thought for my introduction that I might read the introduction of her book to you, because I think it will give you a good taste of what you're in for with this episode. She says, "Essentially, this book is my attempt to share a part of my heart and mind with you. Because one thing that infamous year taught me is that we all have something to bring to the table, and it's better to share. Many kept saying they could not wait for things to return to normal. I became acutely aware that there is a new normal, and I wanted to do something my daughter could be proud of. Improve on my legacy, if you will. Don't get me wrong, I don't think the recipes in this book will change your life, although they might change your pant size. But I do hope you'll take some time to think, laugh, and connect with others as you make some of these treats. This is just one step in my mission to change the world, one meeting, one moment, or meal at a time." I can't think of a better way to introduce Josie to you as we interview her on the It Just Takes One podcast. I'm going to let her share more of her story. So let me stop here and invite you to just sit back and listen in. This is Josie Collier talking about her new book, What a Year. Josie Collier, welcome to It Just Takes One.
Yay, thank you. How are you today?
I'm doing great, and I'm so glad that you're here. I want to start by giving a shout out to our mutual friend, Nancy Huckabee, who, as I said to you a few moments ago, always deserves a shout out in my book. She's one of my very, very closest friends, and she's actually the one that connected us to work on your book. Tell us a little bit about how you know Nancy.
So it's so funny. Nancy's part of the Hamley, as what all the Hamiltonians say. It's like Hamilton's family, right? We were sitting in a meeting one day, and a couple of my friends had just been asking me how I was going, you know, how life has changed. And we were talking about things during COVID. And I was like, I feel like I had a good draft of a book, and I probably should do something with it. It's the third one I've written and I haven't done anything with. But I just need to figure out how to get it published. And she was sitting behind me, and she's like, "Well, you know, I know a great publisher." And I was like, what are the odds of me just randomly saying this off the cuff and someone behind me knows someone, right? So we were talking. She's like, "Yeah, I'll do any introduction. It'll be fabulous. She's awesome. I love Kelly." And I was like, "Okay." She's like super excited. She's like, "And I also just want this book out because I want to say like less than a year before that, I had did a Zoom with a bunch of Hamiltonians, sort of like a mixology class. And I came up with this really cool recipe ahead of time. And we sent out these cute little recipe cards and everyone had such a blast. So she was like, "If that recipe is in it, I definitely want this book in print." And I was like, "Okay, Nancy, deal. I will take the email. We'll go from there." And you know the rest. Nancy's a sweetheart. She's one of the kindest, most gentlest souls. I love her so much. So it was nice.
She has a great sense of humor as well. So I'm not surprised that she was enjoying the mixology that you were doing. And I'm so glad that she made the connection. That's very cool.
Yeah. We also have another Hamilton friend, right? In common. Yeah. Another one who, it's funny because Ellen and I, we didn't go to Hamilton at the same time. I think we're 10 years apart. But in a random, she used to work for Hamilton. And in a random event, we were talking about just cocktails and other kinds of things. And she was like, you know, what are you doing? And I was like, you know, it would be really cool to be in a book club. You know, I just sort of feel like it would help me like figure out how to read enough books, one, but two, to figure out if I really do have the mustard to put this out. And then I was talking to her, and during one of our book club meetings, that I was like, oh, Nancy introduced me to this publisher. I'm about to publish this book. I'm really excited. And she goes, Nancy, she says, what's the name? And I was like, Kelly. And she's like, no. And so then she was really excited. So I was like, it's a very small world. Like, be careful who you talk about.
That's exactly right. It is a small world, and even smaller because you aren't here. Although you have connections with Hamilton, you're no longer living here. You're now down around DC, right? Correct?
Yeah, I live in Maryland, or Wakanda West, as some people call Waldorf. It's such a small little tight-knit community in the middle of nowhere. But it's about, I'm going to say, an hour from DC. So,
okay. They call it Wakanda West?
Yeah, so we can't call it Wakanda because Wakanda's not real, or bite off the name. Don't want to give Marvel credit, I guess. but, you know, people in the area joke that a lot of folks who moved from DC, or, you know, other people of color, just sort of all moved down to Waldorf because it's cheaper down there.
Interesting. So fun.
Yeah.
So yes, it's a small world. Ellen Rainey, Nancy Huckabee, thank you so much for the connection to Josie here. And Josie, thank you so much for the honor of being able to help you publish your book. The book is called, for those listening, it's called What a Year: Collierisms, Cocktails, and Cooking. Which is such a great title for a lot of reasons. Let's talk about why you called the book that to begin with.
Well, there's many reasons, but I feel like COVID was the most interesting, outlandish year to date in my lifetime, right? I mean, we've had other things that have happened to us over time, but that year brought out a lot of different things for a lot of different people. A lot of us learned a lot about ourselves. And previously, I had been doing a blog about just sort of ways to be nice, ways to get over whatever kind of thing we're going through as an adult. And I called it Collierisms. And it was an interesting sort of maybe say 18 months of my life where every so often I would pick a word that started with C. I like the alliterations apparently. And I would write about whatever that C word was. And for a while it got some traction, and then I got busy and I stopped. So that's the Collierisms part of the book, right? And then I really love cooking. I feel like cooking is my love language. It's how I express myself. I get all nerdy with it when I can find random ingredients that go really well together. I'm super excited about it. And cocktails, I mean, who doesn't love a good cocktail? I mean, like, unless you're in recovery, cocktails are a great way to just, you know, spend a cool evening. So those three things tend to be my life. But in COVID, it was, of course, during 2020, it was the year where I really sort of honed in on craft. I was sharing the recipes with a number of people online already. I was already talking to people about creating new ones. And everybody kept saying, you should write a book. You should write a book. And I was like, yeah, okay. And I've been journaling a lot, as well as putting stuff on Facebook, how to deal with whatever we were dealing with, the isolation, the, you know, lack of resources because everybody was out of yeast and toilet tissue and Lysol and right, like just ways to come up with new ways to exist. And so putting that all together, it felt like a good, you know, book was coming to life. And then, like I said, with Nancy and just sitting around in that meeting, and people were like, do it. And hearing somebody has access to a publisher, I was like, all the signs are there. This should be a thing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And it is a thing. It is a thing. What I love about the book is that it isn't just a recipe book, and it isn't just about making great drinks, whether they're alcoholic or even you have mocktails in there, you add optional alcohol. You don't have to have it with alcohol. Mocktails is fine. But I do love the element of the Collierisms that are in there. Can you tell us, though they were a thing, but Tell us how they became so important to you, especially during COVID, to do that kind of writing.
Yeah. It feels like a way to help others with just remembering they're not alone in the world, right? And I always say weird, quirky things anyway. My daughter will tell you I have a number of sayings all the time, right? But this time it felt like a lot of people were really struggling with how to be connected to others in ways that are meaningful, right? I feel like there was two things that for me in particular, I was struggling with was, you know, I live alone and I am far away from family, right? And so what do you do in the time where you can't go out at all? And at the time, my daughter was like, I don't even know how many driving miles that was between Maryland and St. Louis. So I really couldn't like give my kid a hug or something like that. And so as time went by, I realized I wasn't the only one struggling with it. So I wanted to put out something so that others could, one, have ideas for how to cope, but two, share that they were also going through it. Because I think when we realize we're not alone, we get through it faster. Right?
Yeah.
So that was one. And then the second piece of it is COVID was unique, yes, but isolation is not, dealing with loss is not, dealing with how to cope with unique events in your life is not. So we're gonna need those tips and tricks at various stages of our life. So I feel like this is a way for me to share something that people can go back to. And it doesn't have to be just about COVID. It could be sometimes a year, what a year is a good year. Sometimes what a year is a bad year. It's just what a year. Let's figure out what to do with all the things that are going on in our life.
Yeah. And so readers and listeners, if you're out there and you're reading through this, you're going to get a little glimpse into Josie's life and what she was doing during that time, which you will relate to. It'll bring you back to what it was like during the COVID, certainly. But even if you're in a point now, to your point, Josie, that isolation wasn't just during COVID, or feeling disconnected from family isn't just something that happened then. If that's where you are, you're going to get some great insights, deep insights, profound insights that Josie shares in the book. And then she also adds the cooking piece. So Josie, you said you love to cook. This is something that, you know, you just do naturally, and it's a creative process for you, it sounds like.
Yes.
Where did you pick up the love of cooking? Is it something that you've always done, or is that something that you've kind of grown into?
I feel like it's something I've always done, but it's also something that I grew to love, right? So, I mean, we all need to eat. But when I was small, you know, some of my older relatives were always, you know, battling over who could cook the best, right? But one in particular, my great aunt Carrie, I loved her, God rest her soul. And she used to make some of the best meals. So just sitting around with her and watching her cook, it was our quality time. It was our way to connect with one another. Before everyone else came to eat, I got to be there because I lived with her for a while. So it was our fun time, especially when I got a little older and I could be the quote unquote shoe chef, which literally meant I was chopping up stuff and eating the food before it got to the pot. And so that was nice. And then as I grew older, it was, you know, how to stretch a dollar, right? I could be really creative in ways and turn these very inexpensive meals into something that looks nice. So I don't have to keep saying that I, you know, can't afford a gourmet place. I can make a gourmet meal, right? And then now I feel like it's about my love of the Food Network, quite honestly, and just like seeing all these great meals. And I'm just like, oh, I could do that. Let's see. And then I'll get in the kitchen and I'll just try. And that part is fun. So
I think we should tag them. When we load this video, we'll tag the Food Network, because who knows, they may pick up your book and pass it along too, which would be great. So the recipes that you include are an eclectic mix, all different kinds of things. And they're certainly not what I always think of as like Betty Crocker cooking, you know, like the old Betty Crocker cookbook that my mother always used to have. Share a little bit about how you come to cooking and what makes some of the recipes that you have in here unique.
Oh, that's a good question. I like this one. So One of the coolest things about being by yourself, or maybe sometimes the scariest thing about being by yourself, is that you have all these thoughts going on in your head, right? And so each month I was taking it like a personal challenge to figure out how to use the stuff in my pantry. And my daughter will tell you, I have like this obsession with going to these random food stores and markets and stuff like that and buying the most interesting ingredients. And so then I was like, I got to figure out how to use it so I'm not wasting my money, right? So a lot of the recipes come from things like that. I have these random stuff in my house. It's like an episode of Chopped almost. And I need to figure out what to do with this food. But then some of it also is trying to find sometimes healthier ways to make junk food. Some of it is also, I have this intense need for dessert. I don't know what it is. Like, that's my weakness. I love, love, love dessert. And just trying to figure out new ways to make dessert fun. So it's not the same things over and over again. Like, yes, a chocolate chip cookie is good, but a kitchen sink cookie made in a skillet, that's better, right? Like, it's the idea of coming up with the most outlandish yet creative thing possible, right? And then some of the recipes about comfort, right? I love the chicken thigh recipe. Like, it's, yes, part of it is thanks to my friend Aunt Ina. Like, Ina Garten is an awesome cook. But then some of it is just, there's something about a meal that you can make over and over again in your sleep. It looks really pretty. You could dress it up really nice. You can, you know, make a good side with it. You can serve it at a party, or you could just have it on a Sunday, right? And so I like the idea of sharing that part of myself, like seeing people look into what goes on inside my brain, but also what goes on inside my kitchen. So
yeah, there is it. And it's sort of that connection like that you're talking about, yeah. You know, how we just as people connect through food, sitting around the table or sharing a recipe. It creates connection. But I also love the creative piece of it that you're describing, because, you know, it's easy to just go through the Betty Crocker cookbook and cook something. It's something different. It's really an art when you can say, this is, you know, this kind of odd ingredient and this different kind of spice, and I just feel like they're going to go together, and then you create, yes, this creation rather than just, you know, a straight hamburger, for example. You know, it's something different,
right?
You mentioned the chicken thighs recipe, which is one of your favorites. What's one of your favorite desserts that are in there? There are many really good ones.
It's hard to pick one dessert that's my fave. I think I get obsessed and I go on these like fixations. So for a long time, mangoes were my fixation. So that coconut mango pie one is probably one I do regularly. I think, yeah, I'm going to call that my fave. Not that the other ones aren't great, but I'm going to call that my fave. Now, you were mentioning the avocado and chocolate chip milkshake, but the ice box, oh my gosh, that ice box chocolate chip cake, that one has a special place too, because it got me through a time of celebrating my birthday by myself in the house that, you know, was kind of a sad moment, but it was kind of an interesting moment. I would like learn that I was not the extrovert I thought I was. I learned that I was quite the ambivert and that I could spend some time by myself. I did some nurturing things. There was also the craze where everybody seemed to be on Instagram celebrating various things. It turns out I share a birthday with Stevie Wonder. And they were throwing a 24-hour celebration of Stevie Wonder during that year. And it was like all various DJs and artists playing all sorts of incredible music. So I had like a dance session and I made the cake and put it in there and I was celebrating. So I think that one just brings warm fuzzies. And it's super easy to make. So yeah, I don't know. I'm saying the coconut mango, but now I'm going back and
I'm
forth.
wondering
I
about
don't
the
know.
icebox cake. You know, maybe you should just send the icebox cake recipe to Stevie Wonder next year for his birthday as a gift.
Oh, that would be awesome. Like I'll send it to somebody, one of his people, and say,
One
and
of
you
his
know, say,
people,
hey,
and see
you
if
can make
if they
this.
can make it for him, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So it's actually an interesting thought because I think a lot of people did experience their birthdays during that time. Or like you said, not always just all about COVID because we're past it now, but there are still people that celebrate their birthdays on their own. And
Yes.
what you're talking about is some good ideas of ways when you are going to celebrate by yourself to make it more fun.
Yes. And I think there's even, I can't remember which month it is right now, but there's a whole list of indoor ideas. I was actually calling them incredible indoor ideas on Facebook that I like to post because of just that reason. You know, you never know when you're going to be stuck in a situation where you're by yourself. And actually, I don't even call it stuck. I would start to call it safe inside, or you know, alone in a good way, right? Because I think there's something to be said about being able to enjoy your own company. Like, how do you expect others to enjoy it if you don't, right? So there's this really cool list of ideas of all these things you can do if you happen to be in a situation where you're not around your friends and fam. And I like that list. I even go back to it myself sometimes just for, you know, the reminder.
It really goes back to the eclectic nature of this book. There is a lot in here with this beautiful thread that ties it all together, these connection, the connecting points and the creative aspects of it that are part of you, but are certainly a gift for the reader as well. I also need to stop back for just a moment on the mint chocolate chip milkshake recipe made with avocado, and should you choose a couple shots of whiskey if you want.
Exactly.
I have to say, absolutely delicious. I made it, I don't know, soon after we were doing the manuscript. I was like, oh, it's one of the first ones in the book. I'm like, that sounds great. Yeah. Thick, rich, yummy, delicious.
Love, love, love that you
Yeah.
loved it.
And so fun, just like a little different way to mix some ingredients together and get something that tastes. That it not only tastes good, yes, but also just that uniqueness to it that makes it fun.
Yeah. One of the coolest things I've learned, I think, was during the time I thought I was going paleo for good. And clearly I couldn't keep it up. But it taught me a lot about the richness of food and using food as medicine and how food really does make you feel better in a lot of ways. So not just craving sweets or all that kind of stuff, but sort of trying to find healthy fats, trying to find things that you know, will satisfy whatever kind of craving you have, whether it's salt or sugar or whatever the other food things I should know, right? And so it helped me explore with like coconut oil and avocado and using dark chocolate more, which my daughter loved because I used to be a big milk chocolate fan and I couldn't stand dark chocolate. And it was because I didn't know that there were so many different versions. So I think this recipe was more like a nod to the little one who, oh, not so little, she's grown, but the nod to her to say, you know, okay, there's ways to use this dark chocolate stuff in more ways than I thought.
And it tastes good. It's
Yeah, and it tastes good, right? That's also helpful.
really helpful. Yeah, so good. You know, Josie, I think it's great because some of the listeners are like you, not writers per se. That's not their career, that's not their profession. You are in IT. You're not even
Yeah.
writing on a regular basis, unless you're writing programming, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I would love for you to share your thoughts because there are people out there that are thinking, I've got a book or two, just like you were that one day. You know, I've got a book or two. I don't know. Well, should I? Can I? Who? How would I go ahead and publish this book? What are your words of wisdom now that you've been through it? Your words of advice for somebody who maybe not considered themselves an author or a writer, but does have a book in them and does have a story to share. What would you say?
Yeah, something that someone told me, and I thought it was great advice. She said, everyone's an author. because you're the author of your own life story. And I was like, oh, that kind of touched me in my heartstrings. But then the second piece, I think, which is important, is you don't I don't think you necessarily have to be an author as much as you have to have an idea of what you're trying to say, right? And so I was just trying to point out that you don't have to be alone. You know, the year was unique and crazy, but there were ways we could get through it. And this is how I did it. And if it could be helpful to you, that's awesome. So I think the same thing applies with writing, right? You don't have to be an author. You know, every author is unique. So if you have something to say, just write it. And now I realize just how easy it was to go through this publishing process. You know, find some resources, find the person who could help you, see if there's a good match. We matched really well. You were very responsive. It was awesome to work with you. So thank you, thank you, thank you again. It was the easiest transition. And I was telling people, I was like, I feel like I keep pinching myself because I don't think it's real sometimes. It's just, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, I'm a published author. I did that. Check, right? It was, you made the process very streamlined. It was by far one of the easiest bucket list items to check off. So thank you.
I love that. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. It was great working with you as well. I love the moment you just touched on it briefly, so I want to just bring it back. The moment when you actually realize you've got this book in your hand, like this idea that was on, maybe on the screen as you were typing it,
Right.
or in your head, and all of a sudden you're holding it in your hand and it's actually a book and you can get on Amazon and you can order it and other people can order it. What did it feel like for you? What did that moment feel like?
Oh my gosh, the way in which I got chills when I got the Amazon package. So I was just like, even just the email, just like, you have ordered. I was like, oh my gosh, I ordered my own book. Like, kid candy store, Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday, all that stuff. Can't even top how I felt that day. I think the only thing that tops it is the birth of my kid, because it's one of those things that I've dreamt about for a really long time, but didn't really see it as possible. Because again, like, you know, you said before, not being an author, I didn't take, you know, literary classes. I didn't do any of that kind of stuff. So it just didn't feel like it was within the realm. And I journal a lot, but I don't journal with the notion that one day that's going to become a book or a manuscript, right? So it just felt very unique. And surreal in a lot of ways. I wrote this whole list of things, and I hate calling it a bucket list because I don't want this to be like things before I die, more like a bouquet list of things that I would really enjoy and love to see happen in my lifetime. And I wrote out in these little pieces of paper, and I wrote it, just was like, write a book. And then I wrote, publish a book. And then I wrote, sell a book. And dropped it in the box. And there's a whole bunch of other things in there. And so the day that I got to like actually say this was our day when we came up with February, whatever, I was like, oh, I can say I wrote the book. Let's go back to that list and check the little thing off. And I did that. And then when we published it, I went back and I got to, you know, check it. But even better, when I started to see the dashboard and people were buying it, I was like, oh, and now I've hit all of these milestones. Fantastic. So it was a very cool moment.
Yeah, a super cool moment. I am so glad. I love to share that. It never gets old for me either. I think that it is that excitement of a bucket list type of a bouquet list. I love that idea, type of item, and just the accomplishment of it. That you really did
Yes.
share it, put it down, and do it, and say you were going to do it and get it done, and then know that other people are going to benefit from it.
That part, right? So I used to be a therapist, and one of the things I would so talk to the clients about in the initial session was, the way you know that this is going to work for you is that you feel like you're getting something out of it. And I want you to feel like this is just a regular appointment. This is just something to do. Like, you really genuinely have to feel like this is going to work for you, right? And so, you know, sessions would go by or whatever, and then I would stop and we're like, okay, assessment time. Like, reassess. Are we really doing what you said you wanted? Are you getting something out of it? And so that was always on a like a one by one kind of a basis. So you never really get to see the larger impact because it's just you and that client. But I feel like writing a book is a bigger thing. Like it could be anywhere. And anyone could be reading it. And anyone could be touched by it. And anyone could get something from it, even if it's just the recipe. Because I think, honestly, good food brings good moods, right? And so this is a cool thing to be putting out in the world and saying that I have something out there that could possibly make someone a little happier during the day. Yeah. So,
yeah. And the coolest part of that, like you said, is some of them you'll know, you know, some of them friends and family, right, who will tell you they bought it. And then there's all those people out there that will find it. Some of these listeners that are listening now that will go out and buy it and that you'll touch and may never know. And that's going to be a cool ripple effect feeling.
It is. Yeah. It is. I'm loving that.
Yeah, it is great. So what's next? What's next for you? You said you've got a couple other book ideas. You're still working in IT. Tell us what's next.
Yeah. So two things that I think I'm going to focus on in the immediate future. One is trying to figure out a way to do a mixology class or a cooking event surrounded by the book itself instead of just random recipes. So I'm super excited about that. I'm going to work with some Hamiltonians, I hope, and get that done within the next couple of months. And then the next thing I'd like to do is maybe even start taking cooking classes so that way I can figure out which recipes belong in the next one. I really had a good time with writing this, so I definitely see a part two in some kind of way. Maybe a different name, shake it up a little bit, but now that the seal has been broken, I feel like I could do this again. I am genuinely very happy about the idea of sharing more of these recipes. They were fun to make. They were fun to share. And it's always lovely to hear somebody say, I made that and it was great. So yeah, I'm going to try to do it again.
I love it. I love it. So if any of you listeners are up at Hamilton College right now and you're listening, here's a great idea for an event. I think it would be really fun to be doing a live event where you could give everyone a chance to taste it and test it and try it and, you know, show it on. I think that's a really great idea.
Exactly. Sorry, I have some conversations in the work. I'm trying to talk to some Hamiltonians in the advancement office to see if we can pull that off within the next few months. It's always really busy for them during this time. So we'll see. But if not, definitely by the fall.
That's right. They're getting all their alumni parties set up and they've got all their new students getting accepted. And that's what it is at the college world. I get it. Well, if anyone else is out there that has an idea, would like to invite you to do a live event, are you open to other places besides Hamilton College?
Yeah, that would be so much fun. I would, like, honestly, a book signing event anywhere or some kind of activity, I'd be wholeheartedly a part of that. It's such a blessing to have this out in the world. So anything I can do to promote it, to help others have access to it, feels like a no-brainer.
Yeah, so good. Yeah. Josie, the name of our podcast is It Just Takes One, because I'm always fascinated by that idea of just one and how simple one thing can be, but how profound it can be in your life. So I'm just curious from your perspective, what does It Just Takes One mean to you?
So you asked me that question in the questionnaire, and I answered it one way, but I think I have a different answer today. So to me, I think, you know, because my mission statement was often, you know, I'm trying to change the world, just like one moment, one meal, one meeting at a time. But I think It Just Takes One is like, you just never know what that one moment is that's going to change your life, because it really does just take one. For me, that moment profoundly is having my kid. There was nothing greater in my eyes than that magical moment of seeing her laid on my chest. It changed everything about my thinking. It changed the way I was like focusing on life. It, you know, I had to change some things drastically at home because I was like, here comes this kid. But also, it changed how I how I looked into my future, because I was like, now someone else is I'm responsible for someone else, right? It's that one moment that completely shift gears and changed me into a different being. And I think that's the most profound thing that could ever happen to someone. So one moment, right? So that's what it means. Like one moment, one instant, one and whatever definitely changes everything.
Love that. Love that.
Yeah.
Well, with this moment, I want to make sure that if anyone is listening and they'd like to buy the book, we can tell them where to get it. And also if they'd like to keep following you and see what else you're up to, what other things you're literally and figuratively cooking up, how can they reach you? How can they get the book?
Yeah, so the book is on Amazon. You can just search on What a Year. Comes up very quickly. I think I'm one of the few people who use that kind of title. There's some other variations, but mine comes up first. Yay. I'm on Facebook as J. Monique Collier. Certainly search for me there. On Instagram, it's Collierisms. That's the first part of the C in What a Year. And those are the only two social medias that I use regularly. You can also email me. I have a email address in the book, but for you, it's mevidaduce@yahoo.com. Very nice way of saying my sweet life. And I love to hear from anyone and everyone about whether or not you made the recipes, what you thought of the book, what you thought of some of the Collierisms, and just saying hi in general.
Connecting.
Yeah, connecting is right. There's that other C word. I like it.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. I will make sure all of that gets into the show notes. So if you missed any of that, just look below and you'll find all of that. Josie, it's been an absolute pleasure. And I'm so glad that we had the chance to work together. I'm so glad you've got the book in your hand. And I can't wait to see where it goes next.
The pleasure is mine, Kelly. Thank you so much for helping me through this process, for this invite to be on your podcast. I am so blessed to have met you. I'm really grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you to Nancy Huckabee. We'll end with her as well for Nancy, making a connection. Thanks, there we go. All right. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Indeed. Take care.
When we finished recording that interview, I told Josie that I could have listened to her talk all day. I don't know if her voice hit you the way it did me, but there was something about the wisdom and just the resonance of her voice that was so captivating for me. It was great to listen to and also great to work with her. You can feel her heart and her desire to connect and to do something to share goodness with other people. And that is exactly what she's done with her book. If you're interested in any of her recipes or reading her Collierisms or making a cocktail or mocktail or two, please check out her book. It's available on Amazon. And again, it's What a Year, Collierisms, Cocktails, and Cooking. And that brings us to a close for today. Thank you as always for joining us on It Just Takes One. And if you or anyone you know is interested in writing a book, have them hop on our website and book a free initial consultation. We're happy to go through all of the questions and give them answers to anything that they're wondering about writing or publishing their book. That's scriptorpublishinggroup.com. For now, it's time to end this episode. We've got more authors and more podcast episodes coming soon, so stay tuned.